You're listening to a Strange Assembly review. You can subscribe to the full Strange Assembly podcast on iTunes or by visiting our website at www.strangeassembly.com. Enjoy. This is a Strange Assembly review of Nightfall Coldest War. I'm Chris Stevenson, and here with me today are Jay Earl.
Brrr.
Justin Purdy.
Hi.
And Mike Cook.
Sup.
And now, Nightfall Coldest War is a standalone expansion, but for purposes of this review, we are going to assume that you have played Nightfall before. If you haven't played Nightfall before, you can go back and look at other stuff on the Strange Assembly website or on Board Game Geek or something, but we don't want to go back over everything about the game. So let's start with the changes that have been implemented in Coldest War, and there are a lot of them. The first thing that will affect all the games that is played in is that there is an entirely different set of starting decks. Again, it's 12 cards, two of each. All are minions. Yeah, two of each card. Each one is, each card is a different color and has just the two
green,
moons.
Green, green, or red, red.
Yeah. The blue guy became a zombie that blows himself up to draw cards. The purple one is a minion that deals damage when he blocks. The red one is a minion whose force is equal to the number of minions that the defending player controls. The white one has pretty good health and lets you fiddle with the top of your deck. Bat Smoke got replaced by, how do you say that, Justin?
What was his name? It's all caps.
It's Jarek, but...
It's Jarek, because it's in all caps.
It's Ghoul. Joseph, Alois, Ryko, Edvard, and Carol. So it's, I guess it's five people stitched together. And he just sits in play and
heals himself
on each of your turns. And then Victor 1 lets you claim cards out of other people's private archives, although it's not entirely clear about when that does. I may have been the only person out of here who couldn't tell that, but when a card's chain effect says you may claim one order from an opposing private archive, that makes me think it happens right now when the card is resolving, and it doesn't. It doesn't happen until later on at the end
of
the turn.
Phase. Yeah, no, I got thrown by that too.
And I guess that's kind of implied because it's your chain instead of, but...
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. It may have only wanted you to do it during your chain.
Yeah.
You specifically asked me, and I said it worked like you thought it worked, and I was also wrong.
Yeah, so there's new starting cards. There is an
new wound.
There's a new wound, the Coldest War wounds, and the Coldest War comes with, I think, about half the wounds are base set wounds, a quarter of the wounds are martial law wounds, and if you haven't played martial law, those are the ones you can pitch from your hand to increase the strength of an attacking minion.
Yeah.
And then there's the Coldest War wounds, and the Coldest War wounds are basically
wild cards
chain from anything to a Coldest War wound, and then to anything.
Which is really neat.
And the wounds all actually have different art on them now. The burn wounds have the ghoul on fire, I think.
Yeah.
The bleed wounds have a vampire. And then the bite wounds have a werewolf. Although, in retrospect, those probably should have been like claw wounds. Because really, maybe it's just because I'm a more vampire sort of guy, but bite wounds makes me think of vampire too.
Wait, they both kind of bite. That's kind of the weird
thing. Yeah. There are now attachments. There are a couple of action cards that you put them into play attached to one of the minions, and then they give some effect to that minion. One, I think, increases the strength by two, and the other one makes the minion stay in play permanently. And on top of all that, there are now combat actions. And a combat action is just discard the card from your hand. It does something. So it is, I think, the first time you can play cards without using the chain.
Yeah.
You can just play cards from your hand. And there are things that heal minions and do damage to minions and...
Just do damage straight to a player.
As a combat?
Yeah, as a combat.
Okay.
Or make minions stronger or weaker.
That one vampire I was playing with last game.
Is that Katya or
Katya or something.
Kalia? Yeah, she's the cover art. Thematically, Coldest War is they're off in Moscow, sort of.
Yeah.
Soviet Russia. In Soviet Russia, you bite vampire.
Om nom nom.
And in addition to that, there's the moons.
Yes. There's an optional set.
Very optional.
There's an optional set of 6 cards that are phases of the moon, and you look at the art, you go from a full moon to a dark moon, and you've got waxing and waning crescents and whatever
gibbouses.
Waxing and waning gibbous.
Yes.
Moon. There you go. Yep. So if you play with them, it's one phase of the moon, and it has some sort of global effect. And at the end of each player's turn, that player
has
the...
They can keep it in play.
Yeah, they can keep it in play, or they can, in one of a couple ways, change what the moon is.
Yeah.
You never get to pick what the moon is, but it's possible if you've gone through the set of 6 and no one has shuffled them up, you might know what the next one is.
Yeah.
But for most of the time, it's going to end up being just a random one that you're seeing. And the moons do...
global things, and a lot of them are related to, like, what types of cards you have.
Yeah. The new moon heals vampires and lycanthropes. The full moon, which is called the wolf moon, gives lycanthropes additional strength. The hunter's moon lets you draw an extra card every time. It lets anyone draw an extra card whenever they put a hunter into play. The harvest moon lets people bring ghouls back from the discard pile. The butcher's moon negates all damage inflicted on vampires. And the blue moon, I'm not sure why it's called the blue moon, but makes all actions always get their kickers.
There is a blue moon, but that's, or man, I'm thinking harvest. But that's like, that's an environmental thing.
Just
that's not a phase
about in my head now.
Yeah. There is such a thing as a blue moon, but I don't think that's it. But I'm too lazy to
All I can think of is the song, which is now stuck in my head.
The only thing,
what,
the only reason
moon?
I know about any
a
of the phases
moon?
Of the moon, as much as I like
blue
science,
moon.
The only
I like
reason I know
better.
About the only reason I know about any of the phases of the moon is because of Rage. No, it's straight up.
The old CCG.
Werewolf, I guess.
Oh,
yeah, I think Rage. Cause
so there's a lot of new mechanics. The moons are optional, and we
Seriously,
didn't
optional.
Find they added much.
Yeah, we did not like the moons.
They're too random.
Well, it's not random. It's random in that at any point anyone can, at the end of their turn, just get rid of it, shuffle them all up, and try again.
Right.
But
no. I'm referring to it's random in that while it's a global effect, it's random on who's actually getting it.
Yeah.
And which one comes up? And I feel like maybe it might have even been better if you were able to change the moon at the beginning of your turn. But you have to do it at the end, don't you?
At the end, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh well. This is good for you, so I can screw you over, but there's no way for me to say, oh, well, that's bad for me. Let me shuffle it and try and get some.
Yeah, there were a lot of... You can't really plan around the moons, so
no.
It's not like you can strategically build your deck. And a lot of time, it just seemed to be, oh, this moon shows up, there's one player who primarily benefits from that, so as soon as it's not his turn, if the active player remembers that the moon is there, they just send it away. It's like, oh... You've got all the hunters, so no moon...
No hunter's moon for you.
Although you guys didn't do that for like 2 or 3 turns.
Well, that's what I'm saying. As long as people remember, yeah. You are not forgiven,
Justin. It wasn't just you. It was like 2 or 3 people. No one remembered it until I drew like 5 cards.
Yeah, which is not really... You do not want a game being influenced by the fact that there's some random thing out there that just no one remembers exists.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, the... It's not exactly the same thing, but the new Ascension has something kind of like that, because it has a global event that comes out, and it has a new type of enemy that you can pop, and depending on what the event is, you pop it for a different effect. And that at least feels really good. This just feels, like, too random, because that has, like, an effect that does everybody, but if you're going for one style of deck, it helps a lot. This is, like, I think also kind of partially feels into the thing that I always feel weird about Nightfall for. I feel like I want it to be a factional game. Like, I want to go into werewolves, or I want to go into vampires, and the cards themselves feel like they should be going that way. But
know what I
you
wish-
can't. It's too random, so you really can't make a vampire.
Well,
deck
you can if you use the
you
new constructed
right.
deck format.
Hey, it's another new thing.
And then maybe the moons will be better there, when you can be like, oh, I'm playing a vampire deck, so let's make sure my vampire moon's up.
I don't think so, because there's not enough cost attached.
Well, I wish the moon was something more like,
the moon's
when you flop up a moon, you get to say, pick a type of card.
Well, the moons are still, I wouldn't want that in the standard multiplayer game. The moons you can use in Constructed, the Constructed, each player gets to construct 2 12 card private archives that have no more than 3 copies of any single card. So I don't know what strategically the right thing is, but likely you're ending up with something like each 12 card archive has 4 different cards with 3 of each. There's no draft. There's no common archives. Each player gets to construct their own 15 card wound stack. And when your wound stack is depleted, you lose and you're immediately out of the game.
We didn't play that, so...
No, we have not... Well, yeah, we have... That would require everyone to sit down and play, and you probably want to have your own copy of
the game.
But that could let you make a factional deck if you wanted. And there definitely continue to be more factional cards. There are cards that prevent damage to vampires, cards that heal vampires,
cards that
kill destroy lycanthropes.
There's
a vampire that can specifically unsummon hunters.
Yeah.
There's the ghoul lord, we'll call him, who is pretty bad if you aren't able to get a bunch of ghouls because he hits you for a wound every turn, but he keeps all of your ghouls
in
play.
Anytime that you attack, he's got 2 attack, he's got 2 wounds, and anytime you attack with him, which you have to attack every turn because that's how the game works, you have to take a wound.
Yeah, obviously if you don't have at least one, maybe a couple other ghouls, he's
really
bad.
Yeah.
But
it makes all the ghouls stick around.
Playing Coldest War compared to the prior Nightfalls, it felt like we cared more about defending. Maybe there were just more minions that had a larger relevant amount of health. Partially, I think it was Jarek and the way that his regeneration works.
Yeah.
But we seemed to do more multi-blocking and assigning of damage among different defenders. And then there were also a couple of one guys there who were just never going to defend.
Yeah.
Personally, I felt like this game felt a lot more about the minions than previous iterations have. I felt like other games, yes, you had the minions, you had to worry about the minions, but there was also cards that were, you take wounds, whereas this, there weren't that many. Most of it was deal with minions, and then minions go and swing to hand out.
On the other hand, I was basically playing in the last game nothing but things which were like, I hand you wounds straight out, and I don't think it's that based on minions. I mean, to a degree, it's kind of minion-based, but it's not like Martial Law where minions are staying in play and it's just such a big deal.
Yeah, well, to the extent it was minion-based, I think Joe would mean that we played one game where we had a lot of turns in a row where everything got shredded. But Jay, your private archives in that same game was Katya, whose chain effect is to deal 1 damage to a player, and Dog Eats Dog, which is the chain effect is to deal 1 damage, and I had a card in my private archives, which was to deal 2 damages. And part of that was just how we develop things. And part of that is that Mike had Asset 7, who's really good because he comes into play and he deals where his chain effect is to deal 2 damage to something. And if that kills something, and there's almost always something you can kill with 2, then you get to deal 2 damage to something else. So there was a lot of turning around. I mean, he takes a lot of guys. All Fears Revealed, which is a pretty interesting card, I think, where
I like the mechanic.
Each of your opponents deals 2 damage to something, but they can't target your guys. So it just sets your opponents loose on each other.
Yeah.
And that's...
I like the mechanic a lot.
Yeah, you don't get to control what it is, but that's still 6 damage that's getting dealt out. So that's a lot of minions getting cleared out. Foul Revenant, if it actually ever stuck around, although it never seemed to, whenever it attacks, it deals 1 wound to everyone.
Because it only has 1 health.
Right? Yeah.
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 Yeah. Stuff did get shot a lot. And partially it was, there's a combat card where you can just discard it to deal 2 damage to a minion. That kept a lot of stuff off the board.
I mean, there was a lot of churn in these minions.
And there's also there's the minion that when she comes into play, you choose someone with 1 health, and instead of destroying them, you remove them from the game.
And the chain ability of the combat card that deals 2 damage just to target a player and have all of their stuff go down to 1 health.
1, yeah.
That card, I think, caused a few timing problems. Not in a rule sense, but because there are a few cards like that one that say before anyone attacks. And yeah. So it's sort of like the turn gets passed and then everybody just goes to attack. And you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Wait, now I want to do
sort of like you said.
Now
you
that
were,
you've told me you're going to attack me.
Everybody had to be like, okay, are you planning on attacking me with that guy? I mean, you can lie to me, but then, you know, next time it may
next
not go
I'm
that.
I'm taking you out either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't take too kindly to that lying to me thing. The presence of the combat effects slows down and complicates the game. The game, like I said, there seem to really be taking on a lot more moving parts in this. Some of the timing seems unclear to us. Maybe it's somewhere in the rule book and we just missed it, but it doesn't actually say how long effects happen, and there seem to be more effects in Coldest War, or maybe for the first time effects, I'm not sure, and I'm not going to go back and look over every single prior Nightfall card, where a chain card does something that is not right now.
Or no, yeah. The more confusing ones were the kickers that were like, kicker, every time you buy someone or put someone into play, do X. And it's like, is that for the life of the minion? Well, is that the life of this chain? Is that
like end of turn? Is that what we're...
Well, that one was a guy. So that one to me seems...
There were two or three that were like that.
But the one that you're specifically talking about where you draw cards, that was... Right. That's the guy that does damage to everybody. That does two damage and that does two damage. More to me, there was one of the ones that lets you like... It's the attachment that comes into play. Its kicker was after somebody like destroys something, they get a wound. And it's really unclear because that card stays in play. When does that kicker happen? Is that for the rest of the turn? Is it as long as that card's in play? Because it's in play, so that seems like it would make sense since it's an attachment.
Yeah, and I think we ended up playing those until end of turn.
Right.
You kind of have to assume, right, that that's how it works for the cards that say you may claim a card from a private archives, it has to be this turn.
Yeah.
That's not like you just have that option floating for the rest of the game until you use it up.
Yeah.
But, and again, maybe it said that somewhere in the rules, but we didn't see it. I guess if you're a fan of Nightfall and you thought it needed a little bit more complexity,
this is for you.
Then you're going to like Coldest War. Or if you didn't like Nightfall because you thought it was too basic, you certainly are not in Coldest War, I think, or in anything, going to get away from the fact that, you know, strategically, to some extent, Nightfall is always going to be a pound on the leader game. Because if you are seriously playing Nightfall, you should be able to keep track of the 1-4 numbers that are the number of wounds that the other players have taken. And that's all that matters at the end of it. You know, none of this complaining about, I took all these wounds earlier in the game, or, oh, swing at him, he's the one who's got the threats on the board, or...
The starter deck is actually I liked it for the most part. It's not more complex, it's just kind of different, so it gives you another option. The only thing I didn't really like was the guy that lets you buy things out of your opponent's private archive. You can only do it twice, but it was just kind of annoying. What's really the point of the private archive if that's not on a card that's going to be out, it being in the starter deck?
Oh, you were just annoyed because everyone used it to buy your asset sevens.
But I bossed a couple of your guys that helped my chain.
The card draw guy. Banner 89.
I'd almost like to see how it would work to have half of the new and half of the old starter deck. Just to play that out.
And you can play with all new ones. You can play with all new or all old ones. You can have everyone play with the same mix. You can also potentially have each person gets to choose which one they want. You get to choose this blue one or that blue one. So you always want Charlotte Reyes.
Yes.
Yes. But do you Patrol like Zombie Bad Smoke or Jarek?
I like Jarek just because, realistically, you probably want Bad Moon, but Jarek, to me, stops the game from stalling quite.
Yeah, I'm sure. What was the old purple one? Because Kilo 13 is good.
Kilo 13.
Wasn't he do a wound just straight up to somebody?
Oh, yeah, that's the ghoul. Target a person, do a wound.
Yeah, that's not bad either.
The only thing is he got stacked, so he was just like wounds all around.
Yeah. Well,
someone played it. ghoul.
Yeah, everybody dies. The base card who used to be deal 2 damage, you get Snowstorm instead, who does a lot of... Well, so there's an interesting thing. given him the option, Victor 1 is the green guy who lets you take. I think I'd play with the base green guy anyway and get the better influence.
I would definitely play with the base white guy because he lets you remove wounds.
Yeah.
Well, he lets you remove one, but this guy's just, I think, buffer. You know, he's actually got 3 health. He does. True. Early on, he can come out and he can block these other random little guys and still be around to swing.
This white seems a lot more playable early game, whereas the old white you need to hold for late game.
You want him to hang out for a few turns.
For when you have wounds to get rid of.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it does, it continues to have the same high standard as far as what comes in the box. The cards are the same they were. You get the dividers for everything. You get the dividers, and I think Nightfall was the first game to do this where the starting decks got their own dividers instead of having dividers for each of the cards, which you didn't really want to separate back out anyway. You get the same kind of things for the wounds and the draft cards.
And this is a big box again.
It's a big box again. I did like the Blood Country little teeny tiny box, but that was also not a standalone expansion.
Right.
And I don't know how that really worked out. I could see if that did not work out well from a retail perspective, just because it's such a small box. It's hard to have it sit there on the shelf with other $35 things, which is kind of a shame, too, because there isn't really any reason, ultimately, for all this to have all of them be big boxes. You want them to be reasonably sized boxes from time to time so that people who don't buy every single one always have some box that they can condense them into. I guess, ultimately, I think you can tell, I think we all are a little concerned at how much they added in to Coldest War attachments.
I think it was a little bit too much stuff. I mean, I like the idea of combat. I think attachments is kind of a little wonky, and we'd just as soon play without the moons.
Maybe if they have new moons that do. If the moons were more interesting sorts of, like, I would probably find the moons more interesting if they were effects that applied to more stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Everything gets +1 strength.
Yeah. If the moons were more actually global. Right now they're technically global, but because you're imbalanced, because they almost all are your X type of minion does Y, there's not a globe. Not everybody has a ghoul to get the bonus. Right.
I mean, and then they never stick around.
I would expect it to be something more like, or that's the other weird thing is that you can make the moons change phase. I feel like it should maybe be just more random and it happens every turn.
Just every single turn.
An event. And I would expect them to be more like reducing the cost on actions or minions take double damage.
Everything is bigger or
and then they stick around for like a full turn and then they turn out. And then you get the nether.
Because it's not confusing enough keeping track of turns as...
Well, right, but every time the first person hits, bam, he just keeps the moon stack by him or whatever. So before his next turn.
Impossible.
Right. That's just how I would expect that type of deck to work.
It does. If I got a deluxe version of Nightfall, I would want a player marker, because it's very easy to lose track of whose turn it really was
when
you get a big long chain. And it is a game that could benefit more from a playmat than most card games would, because at some times of the game you have 2 private archives and your deck and your discard pile and your cards that are in play and your cards that are on your chain, and you're always going to have a stack of cards that you've removed from the game because all the starting deck cards do that. So
as much as I kind of like that mechanic, at the same point it's kind of a pain because everybody has to try and find a separate place to like put their starter deck, but you don't want to put too close. Then at one point you were handing a stack of wounds to somebody you accidentally gave them
my exiled card.
We got to the end
of that game and I'm like, where's the rest of my starting deck? I don't understand.
Oh wait, you have way more wounds than we thought.
They were the wounds that I was giving him after the game.
Right.
Was
it didn't matter.
Hit the stack, and it was because I had put my stack over by the box, and I was thinking, oh, these were the 10. That was a 5-player game, so I was thinking that was the stack of the 10 leftover wounds, and it was actually the stack of cards that I had exiled from my deck during the course of the game. That is Nightfall Coldest War, designed by David. Well, the whole Nightfall line is designed by David Gregg and published by Alderac Entertainment Group. For Jay Earl, Justin Purdy, Mike Cook, I'm Chris Stevenson, and this is Strange Assembly.
Now coming out of the cold.
You've been listening to Strange Assembly. You can download more episodes of Strange Assembly on iTunes or from our website at www.strangeassembly.com. While you're at our website, you can check out the frequently updated main page or talk with us on the forums. You can also email me directly at chris@strangeassembly.com, or you can follow Strange Assembly on Facebook or Twitter. Strange Assembly, either place. Thanks for listening.